Bible has many, 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 many layers to it. Now, if you're a linguistics nerd like me, you love diving into the Hebrew and the Greek and everything like that. And you probably heard that, you know, in English, we've only really got one word for love. And you've probably heard the example, like I say, I love my wife or I love my shoes. And it's the same word. And unfortunately, we've lost a little bit of the weight when it comes to that. So in the Greek, in the Bible, and in the Hebrew as well, there's four different words for love. But I bet you didn't know that there are also multiple words for praise as well in the Hebrew. So we're going to get a bit nerdy this morning. I'm going to take you through some Hebrew words. We're going to unpack what they mean. And what I want to do is not just fill up your head with some knowledge here. I know this is a multicultural church. We have people speaking multiple different languages in this place, and I love it. But it's not just for that. What I want to do is add a whole new dynamic to your praise, a whole new dynamic to the way that you encounter God, and just make it more fun, more engaging, but also in a way that you realize what I bring, a sacrifice of praise, is something that can really start to break things off your life, can break off addictions, can break off depression and anxiety, can break off anything that's troubling you and allow you to walk consistently in freedom with a spring in your step and a song in your heart and on your lips as well. Is that all right? Good. All right. Well, praise is a big deal to God. He's not egotistic about it. Like I say, he doesn't need it, but praise is a big deal. What we say about God, what we say with God, what we say to God is a big deal. The biggest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. It's right cemented in the middle of the Bible. If you just open it flat, odds are you'll end up in the Psalms. And not only is it the biggest book, it's got the most chapters. And not only does it have the most chapters, the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. This amazing, lovely, long acrostic poem that is all about praising God and his word and his ways. It is a big deal. The majority of the Bible all has to do with how we interact with God, how we praise him and that sort of thing. So what I want to do this morning is take us through these Hebrew words, what they mean, and add a whole new edge to your prayer life, to your praise, to everything that's going on. And the first point I want to make is, please don't allow yourself to be limited in your praise. The whole idea of praising God is you break the lid off. You break the lid off of any limitations that people have put on you, or maybe, if we're being honest, we've put on ourselves. I've said this multiple times. It's not natural for me to be here, hands raised, clapping, shouting, dancing. It's not natural. But what am I doing? I'm breaking the lid off of my own limitations. I'm saying my introversion, my Englishness does not define me, does not stop me, does not break through, but God breaks through instead. So the first point is don't allow yourself to be limited by anything or anyone. Step out into something new. I mean, God in the Bible in Isaiah says, I'm doing a new thing for goodness sake. I'm always doing a new thing. Now, I've heard many different complaints about church life in my years of being a Christian. Some of them are from me, if I'm honest. But I've heard many different people complaining about different things in church. And it's understandable. We all have our preferences. But time and time again, something that comes up is all about what we sing at church. Now, not in this place, I'm saying, but across my time, you know, at Equippers, across my time in my youth group growing up, I've always heard one or two people say, why do we have to sing these new songs? I just caught up with the last one. You know, why can't we be singing, you know, Delirious or these old-timey hymns and that sort of thing? Why are we always bringing something new? It's hard to catch up. But here's the thing. God says, I'm doing a new thing. And we sing new songs, not because we're constantly trying to play catch up or be relevant or anything like that, but because new songs mean a new sound. I love the hymns and, you know, I'm just catching up with Delirious. I didn't grow up with that. Rachel's been introducing me to that. I love Ren Collective. I love all of the old classics and that sort of thing. But I save that for my time. I save that for my personal devotion. I save that for my commute in the car. I have my preferences. There's a certain way I love to praise. But when we're together, when we're on mission together, when we're wanting to impact this community, we don't play songs from 50 years ago. We rarely play songs from 10 years ago. Why not? It's because we're saying there's a new thing, a new sound that God is wanting to bring. And on the back of that, I want us to lead us into our first Hebrew word for praise. So you might want to take notes on these. You might want to write these down. But the first word is halal. Everyone say halal. Halal. It is the root word of hallelujah. That Christianese word hallelujah, it stems from this, halal. And it's used over 140 different times in the Bible. It's the root word of hallelujah. And it means to praise, obviously, but more than that. Not just to praise as like, oh God, I praise you. Aren't you lovely? This is really nice. No, come on. Hallelujah. Halal means to make a show about it. To rave about it. To rave about God. It's clamorously loud and foolish adoration of God. In Psalm 148, we have this amazing, amazing psalm. And I'm going to read the whole thing to you. But whenever you hear the word praise in this, think about this word halal, hallelujah. When the author of Psalm 148 is saying, praise the Lord, he's not just saying, oh, go on, give him a shout, give him a cheer. He's saying, no, make a big deal about this. Foolishly rave and shout, clap your hands, stomp your feet, do what you can. This is Psalm 148. Let me just read it to you. Praise the Lord, halal the Lord, give him a hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes, rulers of the earth, young men and young women together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise him, all of the saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Everybody praise, halal, raise a hallelujah to the Lord. Man, I need to lie down now. That's not something that you just sit quietly with and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I love a quiet devotion. I love a little meditation. I love deep, intimate, quiet moments with the Lord. But there are also times I realize I need to break the lid off. I need to stop being so English. I need to make a big deal about our God. This is the new sound that we are wanting to bring. This is why we do what we do at church. We praise, we sing, we shout, we clap. I've had someone come up to me once. I stole this response from Pastor Peter. I had someone come up to me once saying, you're quite a happy, clappy church, aren't you? I said, yeah, well, we are happy and we do clap. What's going on? It's all about bringing a new sound, praising the Lord. So that's the first one, halal, breaking the lid off, making a big deal about it. So we've got halal, but number two is tehillah. Everyone say tehillah. Good stuff. You'll be scholars before you know it. Tehillah, again, it means to sing praise. But again, this builds on halal. So it's all about taking the raving and the shouting and the new sound from halal and turning it into a song, making it musical. It is to spontaneously praise in the overflow. It's taking the halal, it's taking the unashamed raving and shouting about God and putting music to it, putting a song to it. In Psalm 34, verse 1, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His tehillah, his praise, shall be continually on my lips. For those of you who remember Isaac, he had this t-shirt. He had many funny t-shirts, but one of them that he used to wear, especially when he was playing bass and being all cool on the screen and everything, he'd unleash his mane of hair and be like a proper rock star. One of the t-shirts he had was something from an old Equippers conference, and it said, God plus music is a powerful thing. That's tehillah. God plus music is a powerful thing. Now, I have the most amazing wife in the world because whilst I was teaching at school this week, she followed a link I sent her and she booked us 2 tickets to see Coldplay next year. And I am so happy. They define my teenage years. I love their music. I tehila, that kind of vibe, listening to Coldplay. Now, here's the thing. When I'm sat listening to Coldplay, I'm rarely sat down. I'm bouncing around, having a good time. And there has been more than one occasion where God has said, oh, you love Coldplay, do you? Can you bring that to church? I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm challenged to bring the same energy to my favorite music to church. I know I'm going to be in a stadium next year. Lights all around, music blasting out, my favorite music that defined my teenage years. I'm not going to be quiet at all. So why is Coldplay deserving of that and not God? That's my challenge to myself and to you guys as well. We've taken the halal, we've taken the no limits, breaking it off, and now we're putting it to song. We're putting it to music, tehillah. And then the third one with this is we're adding another layer to it. So we've got the halal, the tehillah, and the third one is zamar. Everyone say zamar. Zamar, good, okay? Zamar is to take the halal, the shouty, raving, amazing praise, to sing it in the tehillah, and then to put music alongside it, to praise with strings and instruments and drums, and to celebrate with songs and music. Now, here's the thing. We're developing our own worship team here at church. We've got the odd singer, keyboard player, guitarist, this sort of thing. We're developing our own worship team. But what I love is that we're not confined to singers, instruments in person. We're so looking forward to the day when that can happen. But just because it's on a screen, we're all zamaring like never before. You know, here's the thing. Even if you are not a musician, you know, I took piano lessons when I was 13. I gave up after a year, and I really wish my parents had forced me to continue. I wish I was a virtuoso. I wish I knew how to play every instrument. The best I can do is play a few things on the ukulele, that sort of thing, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, etc. I wish I was a better musician. But even if you're not a musician, you're a living instrument. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible talks about strings and harps and lyres and drums and cymbals and that sort of thing. We've all got strings here. We've all got vocal cords. Your lungs are woodwind instruments. Your hands and your feet are the drums. We're all a living instrument. In Psalm 21, verse 13, it says this, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing, we will zamar of your power and praise you. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise, zamar, your power." God plus music is a powerful, powerful thing. So that's my first point with those first three words. Don't be limited. Allow God to break the lid off your life, to break off the limitations. And again, this isn't because he needs it. It's not because you need to shout a bit louder to get your prayers answered because God's a bit deaf. No, nothing like that. But what are we doing? We are positioning ourselves to be led into the presence of God. So if my first point is to break the lid off, okay, once you've done that, I want to ask, is your praise a sense of obligation or is it a sense of awe? I was reading something, you know, we've degraded and we've downtrodden quite a lot of words in our language. The word awesome. I think the donuts at team night were awesome. But did I really look at them and they inspired awe? Did I think I could, you know, write a song or a poem or paint a picture of these things? Not really. They were gone in 2 seconds. What am I saying? I'm saying that is your praise an obligation or is it a sense of wonder? Is it a sense of the majesty of God in your praise? Because the fourth Hebrew word that we've got is yada. You say yada. Yada, okay? This is linked to the Hebrew word for hand, yad, because it's all about holding out your hand. Some translations, some areas it's translated like to throw something. So yada is praise that is thrown out with outstretched hands. It's the extension of holy hands to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "When they'd taken counsel with the people, the king anointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him. And as they went before the army," that's a whole nother talking of that, "as they went before the army, they said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever.'" What have we got here? We have got an army of God, the army of Israel, going out to battle. But before the soldiers, before the archers, before the cavalry, before anything else, you had the singers, you had the dancers, you had the priests in the choir, you had the worshipers leading the army of God. They were throwing themselves out. They were yada. They were yada-ing their praise. Why are they doing that? Because God is saying, hey, you lot who think you're going out to fight some sort of battle, do you really think it's your swords and your horses and your muscles that are going to win this? God is trying to teach us something here. He's trying to say, when you throw out your praise, when you allow that to lead you, when you yada, you're not just singing a nice song. You are launching yourself out, surrounded by the presence of God, knowing that he goes ahead of you and he fights and he wins the battles on your behalf. You cannot do that if your praise is just, I have to. This is something that's part of my Christian life. It's a tick box exercise. It's an obligation. God wants my praise. I guess I better sing a song or two. Yada is all about launching out, raising your hand, saying, God, you are going ahead of me. You are leading the way. Launch out of yourself. Because once you break the lid off of your life, of your praise, once you reconnect with God and you get a sense of, God, you are awesome. You're so much bigger than Krispy Kreme. You truly are awesome. You are God. I am launching out. I'm launching myself out. I want to be where you are. Then the third point I want to make is this allows you to not just sit around and wait for that miracle, not just sit around and wait for that answer to prayer. You are ushering it in. If my first point is don't be limited, break the lid off your life. And my second point is get a real sense of awe, launch yourself out into the goodness of God. Then my third point is don't just wait for your breakthrough, lead your breakthrough, host it, usher it in. The next Hebrew word for this that I love is one that you actually hear every day if you go to Israel or if you have Jewish friends and that sort of thing. It's the word todah. Thank you, todah. Because that's literally what it means, thank you. Todah means thank you. It is to praise with hands raised in adoration and thankfulness to God. Get this, not just thankfulness to God, but thankfulness in advance. Thankfulness in advance to God. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 14, it says this, offer to God a sacrifice, right? Offer to God a sacrifice, and you might be thinking, okay, Old Testament, I've got to slaughter a sheep or bake some cakes or go over to the temple and fulfill all these rituals, offer a sacrifice. Offer a sacrifice of what? Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice to God of thanksgiving in advance for your breakthrough. Now, I'll let you guys into my world on this. Me and Rachel, a couple of weeks ago, we went to visit my grandparents over in Bristol, and in a couple of days' time, on Tuesday, we're going to go see them again. And we are really trying to bring a level of todah to our grandparents. Because my grandparents, as far as I can tell, are not believers yet. They're not Christians. And my granny, bless her, she's Glaswegian. She's stubborn. She is not going to let something like sickness take over or anything like that. But she's not doing so well, if I'm honest. Over a number of years, she had various forms of cancer, and now the latest we've heard is that, you know, the cancer has basically eaten its way all the way up her leg. She's got fluid filling up her lungs. Most she can do is sit up in bed most days and eat a biscuit and have a cup of tea. And she's getting frailer and frailer and frailer, littler and littler, just older and older, sicker and sicker. It's tough. And why am I saying this? It's the hardest thing for me when I think about my grandparents, when we're in the car journeying or when we've just finished seeing, it's the hardest thing for me not to go to God and beg, not to go to God just and say, God, please, will you heal her? Will you fix her? Will you introduce her to you, Lord? I find it so hard not to go to God with a posture of a timid little employee saying, Jesus, please, would you do something? What I'm learning, I haven't fully got there yet, but what I am learning is instead of going to God, timid and afraid and wandering and uncertain, begging him to do something, I've got to flip it around and I've got to go to God with my todah. I've got to go to God and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it is a sacrifice because it takes a lot. It takes a lot from me to say thank you to God the moment after I see my granny sick in bed, full of cancer. But I'm repositioning my heart. I'm repositioning my body. I'm repositioning my mind. I'm repositioning my voice. I'm repositioning my hands to say, God, todah, thank you in advance that you are a good God, that you are a God that, you know, when me and Rachel offer to pray for her, she says, oh, I've already had lots of people praying for me in the hospital. Apparently, I just have one of those faces that needs prayer. Thank you, God, that you are working behind the scenes. You have been since before I was born, all of her life, to reach out to her in love, standing with your arms wide open. God, thank you. I give you a sacrifice of praise. I don't position myself where I'm saying, please, begging you to do something. But I stand in strength, even if it takes all the strength I have, to say, God, thank you that you are moving, that you will move, that she will be healed, that she will meet you, that she will find the love of God in Jesus' name. That's todah. It's a hard one. But it is thankfulness in advance to the glory of God, knowing that he is a promise keeper. He is a giver, not a taker. He is the one who is trustworthy, who is reliable. And then often from my todah, I go to the next one, the next Hebrew word, which is barak. Barak is a very intimate kind of praise. Barak is all about kneeling down in adoration. In Psalm 95, verse 6, it says this, oh come, let us worship and barak, let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. See, I've given my todah. I've given my thanks in advance. It's taken all my strength, and then all I can do is just kneel in the presence of God. There have been several moments in my life, like Soul Survivor Camp over summer, that sort of thing, where I'm just surrounded by other worshipers, all giving their todahs and their tehillahs and their halals to God and everything. And there's just a sweet moment, usually about a minute before someone in the back starts singing Amazing Grace. But there's a sweet moment where there's just an overwhelming sense of the presence and the goodness and the holiness of God. And after I've given my tehillah and made my voice all raggedy with my terrible singing, after I've given thankfulness, my todah in advance, all I can do is just say, God, I've got nothing else except this. I just kneel in your presence. The goodness, the love, the power of the God. I'm lost for words in Barak. I'm lost for words in the goodness and the love and the wonder of God. All I can do when God brings me to that point is all I can do is just kneel in the presence of his majesty. That's all I can do. This is the sort of thing that leads your breakthrough. God isn't interested in your begging. God isn't interested in your timid employee mindset, going to a strict boss saying, please, can you do something? He wants your all. And he's willing to give it as well. He's never withholding on his end. It's always our end instead. Lead your breakthrough in this sense. Because once you get to that point, you start to realize the Holy Spirit, the King of Kings, the power of God is living within me, and I can't contain it. I cannot contain it. The next Hebrew word, we're all nearly there. The next Hebrew word is shabach. Shabbach. You've got to clear your throat at the end there. Shabbach. Shabbach is a powerful one because it means to praise and to address God in a loud, and I do mean loud, not just an English loud, a loud tone. To shout, to proclaim power and glory with a loud voice of triumph. That is Shabbach. It is the thunder and lightning of the world of praise. In Psalm 47, verse 1, it says, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout Shabbach to the Lord with loud songs of joy. With loud songs of joy. Now, this is the hardest one for me as an English introvert. This is the hardest one for me. Even in church exhortation when, you know, I know we're all family here. When the person on the screen is saying, you know, let's shout, let's raise a shout to God. It's hard for me not to go, yeah, come on, isn't he good? No, come on, that's not Shabbach. There was a moment a year back when I was given these like weekly challenges. Some of them were physical challenges, like bench press this certain amount. Some of them were relational challenges, like write a letter to an old friend. One of them, which I was pleasantly surprised by, was go climb a tree. I hadn't done that in years. So I went to Cannon Hill Park, and there's this tree that has been bent over by the wind and probably struck by lightning. It had a convenient path all the way to the top. I climbed to the top of the tree, and then I have no idea what happened, but I just shouted when I was up there. It wasn't quite Tarzan, but I was just feeling on top of the world, and this feeling overcame me, and I just like, I'm the king of the world right now. I'm the king of Cannon Hill, and no one can stop me. I think I scared a few people down below. But I turn that into a shout of praise. Sometimes you've got to be led into that. That's why, you know, in pre-service prayer, when it's on the screen, the worship leader is saying, come on, let's give a shout. Let's give a clap of praise. We're wanting to lead you into a place where you are leading your breakthrough. You know, this is all about you repositioning yourself where you're saying, God, I'm on the front foot. And I know my prayer, my breakthrough, my miracle, it hasn't happened yet, but it's imminent. It is on the way. Because the last Hebrew word is pronounced gul. Nice and easy to end off. Gul. And gul is all about being like a child again. Gul is all about spinning around under the influence of a violent emotion. That's what gul is all about. In Psalm 118, verse 24, we all know this verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you read that and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it with a big cheesy smile on your face. Okay. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us gul. Let us shout. Let us spin around. Let us raise our arms. Let's be like a child again. Let's not care what the person next to us is thinking. Let's shout and sing and go for it. That's is what it means to rejoice in the Lord. When I was 15 and I first joined church, it took me a while to disconnect myself from my Englishness. It took me a while to trust the other teenagers around me. But I went to this summer camp called New Day, where it was all about being in a space, morning and evening, with thousands of other young people getting rowdy in the name of Jesus. If you get thousands of teenagers together, united under the banner of God, there's no way it's going to be quiet, is there? That started to introduce me to the gul, the praise of God. And then, when I got home, I found it wasn't just for summer. I was living in the overflow. There were times when we'd finished our youth group at night, and I would just be running through the streets. I'd take the scenic route home. I'd do laps around the block because I was living in the overflow of praise to my God. So I want to say to you guys, don't be limited in your praise. Don't be limited in your praise. Break the lid off a bit. Make sure you connect with God. And your praise isn't just, I have to. It's like, I have no other choice. I get to. I want to. Wow. The splendor, the majesty of God. And in that place, let it lead your breakthrough. Every time you read the Psalms, especially the first half, many of them are Psalms of lament. You think, oh, Dave, cheer up, come on. But every time, he starts off by saying, God, my enemies are surrounding me. I'm up to my neck in these deep waters. I drench my bed with tears every night. I'm at the end of myself. And yet somehow, there will be a moment, usually midway through, where it says, but I will praise you. But I will hope in God. And he turns his lament into praise. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. All of these Hebrew words here, all of these ideas of praise, they're not magic passwords. It's not like you start praising or shouting or singing in a certain way, you'll have £1,000 in your bank account the next day. I wish that was so. I really wish it was so. If you are struggling with your, you know, with your love life, you don't start saying these words, praising this, and you'll get a girlfriend or boyfriend the next week, as lovely that as that would be. It is not just a magic password or special actions to get into God's good books, to twist his arm. What am I saying? I'm saying this sets the stage for breakthrough. You're not manufacturing a miracle here. You're not trying to jump through hoops just to get God to listen to you. You're not manufacturing a miracle in your strength, in your way. If I just say the right things, if I just do the right things, if I just bring enough energy, if I just do this enough, you're setting the stage for a breakthrough instead. You're welcoming it in. You're positioning yourself to be ready. So just as we finish off, I want to ask you these questions. I want you to challenge yourself, well, certainly this week, but we always go out with one last song of praise. I want you to challenge yourself in this final song as we go. The questions will appear on the screen behind me. And maybe there'll be one that sticks out to you in particular. Maybe it's all of them. But allow the lid to be broken off of your life this morning. A first question is, do you have a fresh sound in your life? Do you have a fresh sound where you're singing a new song? Maybe it's the same song. Maybe it's your favorite praise and worship song. But are you singing it with a fresh sound of hope and expectation in your life? Or has your rhythm, and rhythm's not a bad thing, but has your rhythm become a bit routine, a bit stagnant, a bit samey? Is there a fresh sound, a new sound coming out of your life? Or how about this? When was the last time that you overcame your struggle with praise? Like the army of God going out to battle, are you trusting in yourself, or are you trusting in the yada, the praise that is thrown out ahead of you, the presence of God that goes before you? When was the last time that you brought your struggle to God and you say, God, I don't have much energy, I don't have much courage at the moment, but what I do have, I bring to you. And that tiny little spark, if that's all that you can manage, God says, I can ignite that into a flame that burns away all your troubles. Well, how about this? Let's flip it around. When was the last time that you were overcome with praise? When was the last time you had a Shabbat moment where you didn't care what anyone around you thought? You didn't care what the neighbors were thinking, preferably not at 3 a.m., but you didn't care what was going on and you just let it out. When was the last time that you had a childlike faith that the Bible talks about, where you are expressing your love, your adoration in a ghoul kind of moment, where you're spinning around, you're waving your arms around, there's no rhyme or reason to what you're doing, you're just lost in the wonder of his presence? When was the last time you overcame your struggle with praise? And when was the last time that you yourself were overcome with praise? Does your God still inspire awe? Or has the God in your mind got a bit samey, got a bit everyday, got a bit normal? Position yourself through praise to reconnect with the majesty of the King of Kings. And then my final point is, are you waiting for your breakthrough? Have you been sat in prayer to God? And there's nothing wrong with quiet prayer, quiet meditation, contemplation where you're receiving from God. But is that all that you do? Is it just receive, just sat, just God, when? Or is it a sense of, I'm on the front foot with this? Yes, I have my moments where I'm sat back and just enjoying the presence of God. But is there also a sense when I'm stepping up, I'm stepping out, I am leading my breakthrough, I am leading my miracle, I am setting the stage with my praise, with my voice, with what's going on in the spirit, understanding that these aren't just words you're speaking, it's not just a louder volume that you're bringing, but it is the power of heaven to shake up your world and the worlds of those around you. Are you just sat there waiting? Or are you leading your breakthrough with your shouts, with your singing, with your stamping and your clapping? Are you hosting, welcoming in the miraculous into your life, positioning yourself that way? Allow God to provoke you this week. I'm going to provoke you now and say we're going out with one last song of praise. I want us to raise the roof a little bit with this. Not because you have to. Not because God wants us to sing a little louder because he can't quite hear us, but because you are taking the first step to reposition your entire self to be full of hope, full of joy, full of the awareness that God is a redeeming God, a saving God, a powerful God, and you are walking in step, in tune with the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. We're going to get a little bit rowdy in a moment. But before we do, let's just take a moment where we're giving to God our routine, our nervousness, our fear, our anxiety, anything that is trying to cause a blockage to this next level of breakthrough. You might just want to put your hand on your heart, your hands out in front of you, whatever it is, how you engage with God. We're getting the receiving, we're getting the quiet moment out of the way, so that we can step into something new. But God, just in this special moment, in this moment where we are positioning ourselves in front of you, we are ready to receive the full measure of the Holy Spirit. We are ready to receive the goodness of God to pick us up, to transform us, and to lead us in a new way. God, I pray for everyone in this room who, through one reason or another, through labels they've had put on them, through their culture and upbringing, through past hurts and pains, where their praise has been a bit muted, where their praise just seems to be a little bit timid, a bit quiet. God, I lift off the lid right now. In fact, I just lift off the lid and smash it to pieces. May you live a lidless, prayerful, praising life from this moment on. Whatever that lid is, you don't have to live under that anymore. Allow the majesty of God to gently but permanently remove the lid from your life so that you can praise him, so that you can live joyfully, hopefully, unhindered by anything that's trying to hold you down. God, I pray that from this moment on, whether it's an instantaneous transforming moment or a process that people walk through with you and with us, I pray, God, that people would understand that you're bringing a new shout, bringing a new sense of love and power into their life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, guys, I'm going to hand over to the MCs in just a second, but my challenge to you is before you start thinking about whether you're going to have a tea or coffee, what flavor packet of crisps you're going to have, before you start thinking about Mondays rolling round, what am I going to do at work, before everything else starts to set back in, we're going to go out with one last song of praise, as the MCs will say in a second. Don't care what's going on around you, the person next to you, don't worry about it. Get a bit of Tehillah. God loves your singing voice. Get a bit of Yada, throwing yourself out there. Get a bit of Shabbach, a volume that isn't just in the natural, but is loud in the spirit, that breaks things off your life. I'm going to do my best to lead the way, but I need you guys behind me. I need you guys to back me up on this one. God is ready for some big, loud here this morning. And just before we do, if there's anyone in here who's maybe thinking, well, I don't know what it means to praise this God because I've never met him, we always want to take a moment where we give the opportunity for people to respond to Jesus. So just with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to pray this prayer all together. If you are already a believer in Jesus, this is just a simple declaration of faith, but we're all going to do it together for people in this room who either have never said yes to Jesus but want to, or maybe they did a long time ago, but they know they're not walking with God and they want to reconnect. This is what we're going to do all together. And please, don't put a lid back on in this. We're facilitating this as family. Let's pray this all together. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died on a cross to pay for my sin and rose again to give me a new life without limits. I give myself to you. I receive your love and forgiveness. And I boldly declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Just with heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a couple more moments. If there's anyone in here who prayed that prayer, either for the first time or as a recommitment, it's just me looking around. I want you to do something super brave. On the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. I'll acknowledge it and then you can put it back down. I'm not going to embarrass you or bring you to the front or anything like that. But if that was you, I want you to be super brave. Just lift up your hand. Just let us know. And then you can put it back down again. Okay. One, you're saying yes to Jesus. Two, yes to his love and his forgiveness. And three, just stick that hand up high. Amazing, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Got one person so far saying yes to Jesus. Is there anyone else in here who wants to take that awesome, awesome step? Amen.
I will not be shaken. When troubles come, you're the one I call. You are my foundation, a solid rock I will stand on. There's no need to fear, for the battle is won. The battle is won in you. My future is sure, for my God, you are strong. My God, you are brave.